Lock, radio.
This thing right here,
yeah.
It's for my people in the streets.
Yes, today. You know, as we start this show, this one mic.
We will. There is a pause throughout the stadium as this man sounds like he just coughs up a lung. They're looking around the Jumbotron shows and fans, the cheerleaders, and as it goes down each cheerleader's face, each one breaks up into laughter, which at this particular time destroys half the stadium. The other half is still trying to figure out what the hell just happened. Does this guy need CPR or something? And then at that particular time, I lost it. Devon Trump.
Yes. Today, this one mic.
Phoenix is another place. They got a great training staff. I mean, they were able to breathe life back into Shaq. And if you can do that, then people talk a lot about their training staff.
Today, you know, as we start this show, this one mic.
All right, welcome to RSG One Mic. This is your boy D. Wilson's in the building. Hey, we got a morning edition. This is a special edition here of One Mic. But as always, we want to tell you to go to realsportsguys.com for everything RSG. You can listen to our latest podcast by clicking on the podcast tab. We are upping our game, and we are definitely up against our game this morning. It's a big win. I'm in the shadows of the Capitol here in Madison, Wisconsin, not too far from Camp Randall, where we'll be seeing the Michigan Wolverines go up against the Wisconsin Badgers. It's already getting funky in here, y'all, and we're going to talk about it. Yeah, for you people who are new to One Mic, we will be talking about this game as part of the Cypher here in a few minutes. But before I get on going, I got to bring my co-host on into the building. I got to start with the youngin'. You know, he went from an intern to now he kind of got his feet solid on the ground, so we're going to bring him into the building. What's up, Darnell? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We feeling good, man. You can feel it, man. I was in the we were in the team hotel last night. You know, the offensive coordinator Gattis was walking through with his pimp move, looking like he was ready to go, like he was ready to call a play right then and there. You know, the Badger fans are definitely out there going on. So it's getting real here in Madison. The only bad thing about it is 11 o'clock start. So that's why we're doing this podcast so early. But I'm feeling good. I'm excited to see what goes on here.
All right. So what it's looking like, you're saying Wisconsin trying to go on their own little revenge tour.
That's what it feels like. It's gonna be interesting. You know, we'll get into that. You know, both these coaches need this. Now, I would argue that one coach needs it more than the other, but both of the coaches got fan bases who have high expectations around their season. So we'll get into that. Before we get into the sauce of this, I gotta go to the big fella in the post. You know, the screen and roll. We go screen and roll. I just hit him. He just always put him to. I call him Karl Malone of sports radio because he just delivering. What's up, my man Hank? How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to talk to you, fellas, so early in the morning on a Saturday. You got to know that's got to be much love to get up to talk a little bit of sports this early on a Saturday morning. You know, when we're supposed to be out here just, partying, having a good time on a Friday night, and then to get up and start talking sports, that's all right. So I'm glad to be here, to be able to get this in with you guys this morning.
And one of the things you understand, and I was talking to, you know, Steve and Connie about this. You know, it's from the family, the RSG family. When you grow up in cities like Madison and Michigan, you wake up in the morning, walk outside, you just know when it's a special Saturday. You know when it's all in town. You see the blimp up in the sky. You hear that noise. You see planes with stuff like it. Just the morning just feels different. It ain't Illinois in town. It ain't Indiana in town. You just feel like it's different. Everybody a little anxious. People going out there to grab their paper. Everybody sitting up there looking out, got their coffee on the porch. It's a little bit different on these Saturdays, don't you think?
It absolutely is different on a Saturday. It's like each Saturday is its own little holiday. You plan your day around that game. You start on Monday, okay, planning your day around game day, okay, what you going to do, what you got to get done, and and things got to get done. And when game day shows up, you got your game day gear ready, you got your game day attire ready, and you let everybody know, family, friends, loved ones, even your pets, that once kickoff starts, you're not to be disturbed. You're not to be talked to. You're not to have any questions asked. Anything will happen, I don't care, outside of death itself, will happen after that clock turns all zeros. And then that's all predicated upon whether or not you've got something to talk about directly after the game. Am I right? You know I am.
All right, so before we get to the game, you know, for first-time listeners, we have three segments to this particular podcast. We have open mic, trying to talk about issues that's happening in the world of sports, and then the Cypher is our main topic, and then we'll drop the mic, you know, with Hank closing us out with a few words. So we're gonna get into the open mic session. I'm going to start out this first segment of the open mic segment. We're going to call it the Ramsey Report. Jalen Ramsey asked to get out. Jaguars, a lot of stuff going on. He wants to get paid. They're not winning. You know, a lot of people are trying to compare Jalen to AB. It's not even they're not even the two same things. And we'll get to AB in a minute. But let me start with you, Hank. Does Jalen have a case? They played well Thursday night, looked like they handled a team in the Titans, who are another story. You know, we can talk about later, but. Does Jalen have a case about why he should be disgruntled with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I think all the players have a case, but what concerns me more than anything else is how they're going about doing it. Now, you wait till you get to the second and third game of the season. Now you're demanding a trade. You know, in my opinion, you pretty much played out your leverage. So now if you don't play at this point, you know, it's like, what are you using for leverage?
Yeah.
You can say, well, you know, they're not going to win with you. Well, if you say they're not winning with you in the first place, then you don't have any leverage there. Okay, and then secondly, again, you know, when you're looking at the Jaguars, you know, that's a team right now that's really, especially when you look at the state of the AFC South, that could really make some noise with everything that's going on, especially with the injuries and with the Colts being a 50-50 team and basically the same thing with the Texans. You're looking at the Jaguars with an opportunity, and with the mustache, Gardner Minshew, you know, they're 2-1 right now. So does he have a case? Everybody's got a case when it comes down to trying to get a contract extension or anything else. But he sounds crazy. Okay, when they talk to him, you know, he don't sound like a stable cat to me. You know, he said he did this, he did that, he did the other thing. But they paid him and they playing him. And like to me it seemed like on Thursday, if you really wanted to make a statement, then you sit out and demand a trade. But he wanted to play. So I don't know what he's doing. And it seems to me like it's coming out the blue, and it's just confusing to me.
Let me get your position on this, Darnell, before I go into mine.
All right. You know, you guys know, longtime RSG members know, Jalen Ramsey's my boy. That's one of my favorite players in the league. And to first understand the situation, you got to understand that this isn't something that just started. Jalen Ramsey has had friction with the front office and the coaching staff for the last year or so. Really culminating in the off season, where the GM, I think it was, the GM told him that straight up, they're not going to extend him this year. So, right? I think somebody else got an extension, but he was going to get an extension as well when they just told him they weren't going to do it. So he felt a type of way about that. And I think a big reason for the trade demand was that incident that happened with the coach last week. I really need to hear what that coach said, what Doug Marrone said to Jalen Ramsey, because if you look at the video and the body language of the teammates around him, he must have said something really out of pocket, because you see number 25 and number 26 in the video, they hopped up out their seats real quick and told the coach to get up out of there. And that just paints a picture of, first of all, what did he say? Second of all, what kind of pull does he have in the locker room? Like, what? How do the players feel about Doug Marrone? Is it just Jalen Ramsey? And another thing, Jalen Ramsey played. I think he played because he wanted to play for his brothers. He's really close to AJ Bouye. I'm going to talk about him a little later. Leonard Fournette, they're really close. So he tried to play. He doesn't want to really quit on them, but he's going to play until the trade happens. But like I said with AJ Bouye, though, I don't know if they should even if they do trade Jalen Ramsey, they have a very good, very solid corner in AJ Bouye. He is every bit as good as Jalen Ramsey. He just doesn't get the main recognition just because he doesn't talk as much as Jalen Ramsey does. But if you look at him, he played an excellent game on Thursday night. So they have another piece there. But if I'm the Jaguars, I don't think I trade Jalen.
I was about to say, not to cut you off, but just to interject in here. If you're the Jaguars, why would you trade him? Why would you trade him now? I mean, they see the climate of that division. They can win that division. I wouldn't trade him.
I would not trade him. I would try to mend that relationship and see where we can go forward from that. I might have to end up spending some money and throwing some money at him so I can lock him up long term. But I want him on my football team. Like, I want to keep that the core of the team together because really, the big problem with the Jacksonville Jaguars is the offensive line. If they can fix that offensive line, they really have a problem on their hands. They could be the next team that pops and can be a playoff contender. But right now, if they can't keep the quarterback clean, if they can't open up rush lanes for Leonard Fournette, the offense is going to be off the field very fast, and that's a lot of pressure on the defense. But if they can fix the offensive line, they're right there. So I think you keep the roster intact and try to keep the locker room intact as well.
And I think one of the criticisms, and we haven't talked about it, with, you know, Tom Coughlin and the role he plays in this, is that everybody's recognized that the Jaguars are one of the top defenses in the league and had a very dominant defense. But every time these cats come up for a free agency, they hardly ever sign anybody. And they offer Brandon Leonard, their center, a major deal after 3 years. So if you're gonna have this process and this policy about how you're doing it, but then your defense is dominant, your offense is not doing it, but you're gonna sign your center, and you're not gonna get Jalen Ramsey. Which if you gotta think about it, either you have to have a rush in, you gotta have a corner, you gotta have a left tackle, you gotta have a quarterback. Right, but you're gonna sign your center. So I think what Jalen's seeing is hypocrisy, and this is not Coughlin's first issue with teams. You know, basically the defensive guys at the Giants saved it. They found a way out through the leadership team and everything else because he was having the same problem. And so, at what point does ownership have to come in and take control of this when it's clear you're making this stance, but you're gonna give your center an extension after 3 years, but he might not be the best. He probably not the best center in the league, but Jalen Ramsey is probably clearly the best corner in the league. And you can't pay him. He's not gonna sit by and watch that. I think that's part of the issue here, that they're not consistent. And they gave all that stuff. They gave Bortles money. So the defense did all that stuff. Who they give money? Bortles. So then when you start looking at that. Like, what? You should have took money from Bortles, right? So how does Ramsey reconcile that? And I don't see how he's in the wrong. And he's still coming out and playing for you every day. That's part of the issue that I look when I look at this situation. He's not AB. He's talked. He's doing his thing, but he's been a leader at his position. He's a good teammate. He does everything else. He even showed up Thursday night to try to do his thing. But when you have this inconsistency and none of your marquee defensive players get signed, that's a problem. Well, that's the hard thing.
Well, again, I understanding that, but the thing is then, at the way the climate of the NFL is right now, you come out, you demand a trade, okay? You come out demanding training. You talking about Tom Coughlin, okay? And let's say they pull the trigger on that deal, okay? Let's just hypothetically say, okay, we're going to trade you. We're going to trade you to the Dolphins. How about that? You've hurt your team. I guess that. And again, my issue is while you're seeing all this stuff, you know, the season starts. You could parlay your season, okay, into a contract or demand a trade at the end of the year. You're playing both sides of the fence when you're saying I demand a trade, but I'm gonna play with my brothers because I'm close to everybody, okay? Because now if you with your brothers, you're under contract for this year. You might as well try to get that big contract with somebody else if you already know what you're dealing with, okay? But you get to the third year of the season, the third game of the season, there's a potential that could fracture the locker room at this point is where I'm coming from. I'm not saying that he's not wrong in his demands. It's when he chose to make them, okay? And what does that do with the team now that you're you know into the season?
Well, I think
they
don't have guaranteed contracts, so their points of leverage are only when it's the ball is live. You don't have guaranteed contracts. The structure, the system creates these reactions because every other way that you're suggesting, they have leverage. Ain't no games being played. And, you know, it's because you don't have guaranteed contracts, this is the only time you can actually put their feet to the fire because none of these cats got guaranteed contracts.
It's not so much guaranteed contract in the NFL, but you can get guaranteed money, okay? And so
the signing bonuses are going to the quarterbacks. They ain't really going to everybody else.
I mean, they can go whoever they want to go to, depending upon who your agent is and what he negotiates for you. Now, obviously, the quarterbacks are the ones that are getting all the press. But for some of these contracts, you know, they've had to give some guaranteed money just to get the players on the field. And I'm thinking if he's doing that, again, I just think there was a time to leverage that, you know, and even try to leverage it now. If you're asking to get out, you know, and you're dealing with somebody who is as an authoritarian, if you will, for the lack of a better term, as a Tom Coughlin, who will make a move just to show that I'm the man in charge and hurt that football team, you know, yeah. Then you can't come back and say it's disingenuous to say that I'm playing for my brothers. Then which one is it? Because if you want the money, you have to leverage that early in the year. I mean, I that's just the way the NFL is set up. I'm not saying that he's wrong to ask for his money, but that's just the way that the NFLPA has butchered it for their players. That they have to do it that way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's just about the money. I think it's more about the relationship issue with the coach and
I don't know what the coach. I think it's the front office.
I think that relationship is fractured.
Yeah, I think it is. Well, hey, we're gonna keep an eye on this. We're gonna move on quickly. This next one we're gonna take too long because he's crazy anyway right now. AB is out in. We're just gonna take we only gonna give him a couple of seconds. So when you heard he was released, Hank, what was your thoughts?
I'm not surprised because I thought he was going to get released once he got signed with New England. I felt like he was going to do something crazy. What I didn't anticipate was the width and the depth and the breadth, if you will, of this issue with this sexual assault issue that he's got, that it just keeps on growing legs, keeps on growing arms. And the New England Patriots, like I said, that's corporate America of the NFL. They weren't going to put up with it. And you know, they already are a Super Bowl contending team, with him or without him. So they didn't need him. He was just, you know, a little bit more candy in the dish. But when that candy is sour and nasty, you know, you get rid of it, okay, when everything else is sweet. And that's the problem with AB right now. And the thing is about it with this cat is that he's so immensely talented. But we've talked at length about, you know, the off-field issues, everything that's going on with this brother. At what point does somebody step in and and help him? You know, because how many contracts does he have to blow? How much guaranteed money? We just talked about guaranteed money with Jalen Ramsey. How much guaranteed money does he have to blow? You know, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's borderline disturbing because we really haven't heard from him. You know, they kind of kept him quiet outside of when he gets on Twitter and stuff and say some real bizarre stuff. But it becomes concerning when this keeps happening on and on again. It's not such a sideshow as it is now. Now it's becoming concerning, and the NFL got to step in somewhere on this, I would think, don't you?
I feel it's funny because I was having a conversation. My man C. Rush stepped away for a minute, but he speculated, and I thought there might be other things involved in his life, substance or something, causing these behaviors, because it's a rational behavior, and
right.
It could be. We might find after we unpack this that there's something else going on behind the scene. Whether it's, you know, I don't want to put this out here because I don't think he's been this way, but you got something has to explain the irrational behavior and the quick responses. And there could be some other things going on in his life that he might be involved in. I'm not speculating too much, but it just, he turns left too quick. He reacts.
Right.
Yeah. Or there's some things that haven't been diagnosed about, but there's things that he just turns quickly on that if you had 100 people, they're not all going to react that way. Two same situations. And we
listen,
might find
just to add on to that, just to add on to that, because when, like you said, when you see that quick turnaround, when you see that his behavior is becoming self-destructive, that is a distraction, and you're not talking about AB himself, it's this individual or whatever this is. Once he gets off the football field, they're saying he's a good teammate and all this other kind of stuff, but this other stuff keeps coming up. And you got to ask yourself, with a player this talented, you know, what are they looking at? Are they just looking at what he can provide on the field, or are they looking at the rest of it? And if it turns out, especially with the character issues that the NFL has, that he's got something going on, that's going to be a black eye, because again, it's just too much. It has dominated the news cycle in the NFL the whole first half of the year, all preseason. You know, and you figure that somebody's got to step in and say, what's really going on with this young man?
Yeah, that's it. Hey, Darnell, I'm going to let you chop in here before we go to the cipher. What are your thoughts?
Man, it's like what I said last week. I think there's a problem with Antonio Brown. Like you said, I don't know if it's substance abuse or mental health issues or some early onset of CTE. I doubt it's CTE because that's something that usually happens later on in life. But there's something going on with him. But the issue that got him released from the New England Patriots, that was stemming from the sexual assault allegation. So I don't know if that's anything new or just
him sending a group. Him sending a group text asking people to investigate. I mean, a group text asking everybody to investigate. I mean, who does that? I mean,
right?
We people group text messages now. I mean, you hit it right on the head. Go ahead.
You say he sent the group text to the
He sent a group text to the second alleged situation victim, I believe, with saying that it was false. I think he had his attorney on the text, and a couple other people, you know, said it was false. I mean, a group text. That's a new strategy. I mean, he one thing I will say is he's created some new strategies I've never seen before in my life. So, you know, it's telling me that Drew Rosenhaus doesn't have any control over him. His mama ain't got no control. Somebody ain't got no control over him. His cousin, his uncle Willie, ain't nobody is telling this kid what he needs to do. And when you ain't got nobody who can tell you that, you do whatever you're going to do. $30 million out the door. And the thing about it is, he got back in the game. Like, New England set him up to make the money again. He still blew it. He couldn't mess it up. So that tells me when you can't stay away, as Stephen A. would say, from the weed or whatever it is that's causing you to do things that nobody in their life would get that many chances to make $30 million. In 6 months.
Right.
Who else would? You got to be
right.
That's the thing.
In 6 months. You lose $30 million, they give you $30 million back. You lose $30 million, they give you $30 million. Like, nobody gets that kind of shot like anything. But he got it. All right, we're going to go into the cipher, buddy, because we'll get ready. We got to get over here to the stadium. So we're about to hit this cipher.
Call the cipher.
All right, for the cipher, I'm going to bring my boy Mo Red in, who will be in the stadium with me here at Camp Red. What's up, Mo? I know you're on the road. You probably, what's going on down there?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How's it going? Just on my way up to Camp Randall, checking you guys out on the ride up. So hearing you guys break it down, chop it up. Good to be a part of the show today.
If you hear some noise in the background, let's see Russ putting the new glares in. He's trying to get a taste of Wisconsin with him coming in. So we got stuff happening in the background because we get ready to go up for the show. Hey, this is it. You know, we got some great games around. We got Georgia, Notre Dame. We got great games going on around the country. But right now in the Midwest, it's the Badgers and the Wolverines right now. And it feels like it's big up in here. And we're going to call this segment Who's Got Game? Because we're going to find out today who's got game in this one. It's going to be ready to go. We're going to get fired. I'm going to start out and we'll roundtable with you guys real quickly. Just on what you think are the keys to victory for both teams today. And so I'll start with you, Hank. What do you think, you know, we all know what draws you got on right now, probably what hats you got on. But what is the keys to victory today?
Well, listen, you have to start with, you know, how do you contain the best way you can contain Taylor, okay? Jonathan Taylor is a Heisman candidate, okay? He's playing at home, okay? So Michigan's defense is going to have to show up today. They're not going to stop this young man, but they're going to have to be able to contain him. So what's the best way they can do that? And the other key is, what is Michigan's offense going to look like? Now, around here, we've been hearing all of this secretive stuff, you know, in this bye week about, we're going to be explosive. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. And clearly, the last time we saw this offense was against Army, which did not endear any sort of confidence in any maize and blue faithful. So what's that going to look like? And if it is speed and space, you know, if we see that, then this is going to be a very interesting game. Make no mistake about it. Jonathan Taylor is going to get his. Okay, that is a very dynamic back. Okay, he got 100 yards last year in a blowout. So he's going to be a very integral part of this game. Okay, what Michigan does on the road, are they able to contain him enough and then generate some offense, is what's going to be the keys to me in this game.
Yeah, and Taylor's got 100 yards, I think, each of the time he played against Michigan, but he has not gotten into the end zone. And that reminds me of when Ron Dane was here as a Heisman Trophy candidate. Michigan had a way of bottling him up enough and doing what they needed to do, and it seemed like they got that same type of approach they've had with Taylor, where he's been able to move in between those 20s, but he hasn't found pay dirt. So that's a great observation. Darnell, what are you feeling in terms of some of the keys for both these teams?
Keys to the game. Keys to the game is the keys to every game. Line of scrimmage. Whoever wins the battle of the trenches is who's going to win the game. If the Michigan Wolverines can get penetration early and stop Jonathan Taylor before he gets ahead of steam, they can win the football game. If they can do it on the other end, and if they can run the football and get ahead of the sticks, they can win the football game. If they can't, it's going to be trouble for him. And another key to the game is the quarterback play. Is Shea Patterson going to play? I mean, is he? He got to show up. Wisconsin got a good defense. So
you hit that point. That's what we all hear around here. I got my brother Steve in here. I don't know if they want to even chime in. And Connie, that's the conversation, Brendan. Will Shea show up? I saw his family, his parents in there. They look excited. We saw Gaddis Pippen through the construction in the hotel. He looked excited. He looked like he was serious. But the players look serious. But will Shea Patterson show up, or will they have to go to Dylan McCaffrey? That's a big question.
This is a defining game for Shea Patterson. Shea Patterson thought last year, you know, he teeter tottered about going pro. So this is a career defining game for him. He's got to show up in this game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, okay? Michigan has gone out and changed their offense because they say that they got quarterbacks that are more suited to play in the spread, okay? That's Dylan McCaffrey and that's Shea Patterson. Now, Shea Patterson is a senior. He's in his second year. There's no more excuses for him, okay? He's got to know his reads. He's got to know his checks. He's got to come out. He's got the ball, okay? This offense is predicated around his strengths. So if he don't do it, all right, then there's nothing else to talk about. There's nothing else to talk about. He comes out here and lay an egg. Then what he does is he really puts Michigan's football program, you know, in a real sour situation. Because if he can't do it as a fifth-year senior, and you bring in a Dylan McCaffrey, who, quite frankly, you know, as much as anybody has been screaming for him, hasn't thrown the ball down the field. He's done some great running, and the offense has looked different. But by and large, he's not played a full ball game yet. So, you know, it remains to be seen. You know, they've clearly looked at this young man all spring, all fall, and declared him to be the starter. He's got to bring it. And if he doesn't bring it, Michigan is in trouble for the entire season, period, flat out.
And one of the things that we have been having a conversation here, I think Connie made this remark about this when we were talking about this last night, is there are sometimes we can get enamored with practice players. So Shea might look great in practice. You know,
practice?
Might look good in practice. But then who performs under the lights? And I know that's your only evidence, but sometimes as a coach, you got to be a nuance a little about who shines when the lights are on and how can you get more evidence of that? And I think that's something that's got to be determined today. Hey, Mo, you're going to be high above Camp Randall with me today. You have a chance to do it. You're the one closest to the Wisconsin border. You spent some time in college in Wisconsin. You've seen all this. You've heard all the chatter with all of us. You're gonna say, so what do you say are the keys to victory as well?
Well, I think you guys made some great points, and I'm going to agree also with the point about the quarterback play. So you talk about Ron Day and going back for years and years, Wisconsin's always had the running game. And usually good defensive players, you know, like Watts and the Watt brothers and people like that throughout the years. But when Wisconsin's been able to really make a big push to, you know, making the Big Ten and trying to get higher up is when they have better quarterback play. And that's going to be the big question for me for quarterback play for Wisconsin. I think, you know, Michigan's obviously going to be focused on the run game and trying to stop the run game. So if they can have some play action and get some plays down the field there with the passing game, that's going to be a big key for Wisconsin. And for Michigan, you guys mentioned as well about Patterson. It's going to be turnovers. I mean, against Army and, you know, some of the games they've had already, he's been throwing picks early in the game and really putting, you know, Michigan in a bad spot. So, as you guys mentioned before, if he's not stepping up and able to, you know, obviously drive the ball down the field and make some plays but not turn the ball over as well, it's going to be really key for him not throwing interceptions because with that Wisconsin running game, you know, they keep you on the field longer. That's when they start wearing you down in the fourth quarter because – get some big boys up front, been leaning on you for three quarters, then that fourth quarter is when they start breaking up with those runs. So I'm looking at those, the quarterback plays both sides to really kind of tell what's going to happen today for this game. But I got a question for the Michigan boys in the house there. What's going on? How you guys feel about your boy Harbaugh? You know, he's been there for 4 years now. He'll be Ohio State. And all this kind of stuff. So I know you got Steve in the house. I want to know what's the feeling right now in the house about Harbaugh. I think you guys are Harbaugh, but you know, at some point when he's winning, he's gonna have the results on the table. Got to start coming to fourth here.
Well, you got the room all messed up, man.
That's right, baby. I'm with y'all. I'm with y'all on the floor. Let's go.
Welcome to the piece of the RSD, the F Truthisms. We get live for here. It's getting funky up in here. I bet it is too.
Listen, I'm gonna chime in right here because I know they clowning out there in Madison, so you might get some
ready,
anything.
Man.
But listen,
they got all. If I can take pictures, they ready. Steve got.
I know they ready. Look, y'all better bring home a W too. That's all I got to say. Y'all out there. But listen, let me just say this about Harbaugh, okay? I know the Michigan faithful are frustrated, okay, and they're irritated. But Jimmy Harbaugh, in and of himself, in his 4 years here in Ann Arbor, has had three 10-win seasons, okay, and one 8-5 season where all of his players the year before had gone pro. He had 11 players go pro, and they're on rosters in the NFL. What people are upset with is that Jimmy Harbaugh is bearing the burdens of the failures of Michigan's past, okay? Him standing alone, if you had him take his 4 years by themselves, okay, even right after the Lloyd Carr era, if you took out the Rich Rod and the Brady Hoke era, then he wouldn't be in the hot water that he's in. He's in the hot water because he's bearing the burden of Brady Hoke. He's bearing the burden of Rich Rodriguez. He's bearing the last 2 years of Lloyd Carr, where Michigan didn't win anything, okay? They didn't even compete for a long time, okay? They've been competing for championships now. They haven't won, but they have competed for 3 of the 4 years that he's here. And they get on the thing about Ohio State, and I have always been one to contend that Ohio State had a legend as a coach, okay? And we'll say what you want about Urban Meyer, but he is a coaching legend. And he just knew how to get his team ready. And Jimmy Harbaugh has come in, and he's had to turn his program completely around. Michigan was irrelevant when he got here, okay? And now they want him to be Jesus Christ and turn water into wine, when it clearly is not that easy, all right? But they want to get rid of him and go back into the doldrums. When he hasn't done a bad job, he just hasn't finished. So, you know, my concern is when people say, oh, he got to go, he can't get it done. Then I go and look at programs like UCLA, who's got Chip Kelly. I go look at Tennessee. I go look at Florida State. And those programs are going completely backwards. Okay? So this is what I feel about Jimmy Harbaugh. If he's trying, and clearly getting Gattis in there as the offensive coordinator is a break from him and his tradition. He's trying to do something different to get this team over the hump. I applaud that because you've never seen that from a Michigan coach, but you've got such a fickle fan base that they'll cut their nose off to spite their face and go backwards to try to go forward. If they go backwards again, Michigan may disappear. So that's my feeling on it.
And I want to say this on the Wisconsin side, Paul Chris lived a lot of that last year, you know, in the same way that Jimmy's living this year. Like, you know, Paul had all the injuries, had an issue. He lived the same, like both these coaches, because like Paul is making up what happened with Anderson in the transition. You know, what happened with Brett towards the end of his career. Like everything you described, Wisconsin fans also forget the fact that there were years where you weren't winning nothing. In a bad year, Paul gets you 8. So both coaches, and, you know, Chris is not as visible as Harbaugh, but I always told people, I said, if you ever had a son to send to play for two coaches, these are two coaches you want to go play for, because they truly value education. I spent a lot of time with Paul Chris, and we know Jimmy values that totally thing. When you're talking about a true college experience at a high level, and both these institutions compete at a high level in multiple sports. You know, people talk a lot about the SEC. The SEC, on average, has 13 intercollegiate athletic sports for a reason. It's a system, so money can be put in a certain way. There's a system that they invest in certain sports. It's set up that way. When you look at places like Ohio State, that's why I give Ohio State all the credit. They got like 30-something. They got bowling teams, and they still have national programs. Michigan probably has like 23, 24. Wisconsin has like 23, 24. Like, they are totally investing across their programs. And so that's what's great to go watch a game like this and watch these two programs, because their volleyball team is going to be top in the country. They track team is going to be, you know, right. They're going to compete based, like, they do it across the board in ways that UCLA does that, Stanford does that, in ways that we don't appreciate sometimes because football gets all the limelight. Hey, we're going to end this segment. Mo, thank you for stirring this up. Well, who's got game? Who's going to be the got game player of this? And before I do this, I say the key, my key, I got to say, it's going to come down. When you have great defenses like this, and I truly believe these are two top 10 defenses, it's going to come down to which quarterback, Cohen or Shea, or it might be Dylan, can make a play out of system. Because the defenses are going to take away your first and second thing you can do. It's going to come down to who can make that play when nothing goes right. Coach calls a play in. They see a formation. They see that the defense already got it. They can audible and get the team into the right play, or they scramble and get a play. It's going to come down to one of them two players making a play out of system. That's what we're going to see today. All right, we're going to start with who you think, which player you think will have got game, going to be the difference maker today. Hey, let me start with the youngin for it. We're going to start with the youngin first, Darnell. We're going to end with Hank because Hank going to drop the mic. Darnell, who do you think is going to make – who's got game today? Who's going to make that play to make that difference?
Jonathan Taylor. I'm looking for him to have a big day today. He had a decent game last year, even though the storm came. But you know, I'm looking for him to have a bounce back performance and lead the Wisconsin Badgers to a victory on today at noon.
So you got the Wisconsin Badgers win. Darnell got Badgers going. All right, Maurice, who you think got game?
You know what? I'm gonna go. I'm actually gonna go with the quarterback, Lamar Patterson, today. I think he's gonna step up to the mic a little bit and show, you know, why they have faith in him for this year. You know, he's a senior this year, and I think that he realizes that, you know, it's kind of like you guys are saying, it's kind of make or break for him right now. So I think, you know, Michigan has got, you know, I think, you know, more talent all around than Wisconsin. So I think he's gonna step up today and show why he's been getting the talent that he has in terms of being the starting quarterback for Michigan here.
All right, and I'm going, and we're going to Hank. I got an A and a B, and I'm gonna go with the B first. Is Cephas? I think Cephas is gonna have his coming out party, but I think there's gonna be a person who have a bigger game than that, and his name gonna be Tariq Black. The one thing I say about Michigan that people don't know is I think they got the best receiving record in the country that people don't know. I think they got the best receiving core in the country that people don't know about. People don't know about.
Okay.
Yeah, don't know about.
I was about to say Alabama.
Offense just hasn't operated at that level. And I think Tariq Black has a coming out party today in Camp Randall. Because you're gonna need that kind of player against this defense. You need a guy that you just can't, whenever you coach defensively, he just makes a play. And I think he has the ability to make those kind of plays, those Randy Moss type plays. And I think it's going to be that kind of, I think this is going to be a great game. It's going to be close. I think Michigan going to get them at the end. Because at the end of the day, Harbaugh needs more than Chris. And when you watch the team walk through the hotel, you can tell. Them kids ain't saying nothing. They quiet. They about their business right now. They know what this means. And so this is going to be a hard-fought one. All right, Hank, we're going to have you. Who got game? And then you close it out dropping the mic.
Listen, you know, first of all, I know Steve over there losing his mind when he heard what Darnell had to say. So, you know, just tell him to write it down so I can read it later. I know he's like, oh, my cousin confused him. But I can hear it right now. Shout out to Gotti and Steve. You guys have much fun. But I got to tell you, who I think going to have a big game, here, Quiddy Pay. Man, let me tell you something. I just feel like Cone, this is his first big game too, okay? And no one has really talked about him as taking over the quarterback position for Wisconsin. And I know that last year the Michigan defensive ends really made it hard on Hornibrook. And I look for Quiddy Pay to continue that tradition. I think that with Jonathan Taylor getting so much.
I said Hornibrook's still seeing ghosts.
He's still seeing ghosts. You're absolutely right. And I think, and Quiddy Pay, nobody's really paid him attention. But the thing is about Quiddy Pay was, you know, even when last year when Rashawn Gary went down, Quiddy Pay, Michigan's defense didn't miss a beat. Okay, and this young man is a freak. He is a freak, and I think that he's going to surprise some people. And I think that Don Brown, this is an offense that he can really scheme against, and I think you're going to see a lot of Quiddy Pay in the Wisconsin backfield. I look for Michigan to win this, too. I think this game is a must-win for them. I think just to get them back on track, I think that even though they won, They've got to get themselves some confidence because this is a year they think they can win it. They've got to show it today. The Big Ten is not going to be easy to go through. This is a game they got to win. So I look for that to happen. I look for Michigan to pull it off. Now, what I don't know, because it's beautiful here, but I heard that the weather could be a factor there, so that could really change some things. Because they've been predicting rain all day. What's the weather look like there, D?
It's going to be raining, man. It'll be raining.
Okay. Is it raining now?
I haven't been outside yet, but it's supposed to be raining. Not yet, but it's supposed to be raining by game time.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, that's going to change up some things. But again, as your boy said, Michigan got a lot of weapons. It depends on how they choose to use them or not use them. And I think that if they come out and do what they're supposed to do, it's something Wisconsin's never seen before. okay? But if they just line up and try to go at them head on, then this is going to be a game that they lose. So, you know, for me, obviously, it's go blue, and I'm looking for them to win this football game.
All right. Y'all know it is. Time to drop the mic. Go on and do your thing, Hank.
Okay, listen. We've spent most of the time talking about college football, but I really want to go back to the NFL for a minute because I want to go back to the state of the NFL. I just want you all to think about this a minute. In this last week, we haven't talked about it at all, but in this first 4 weeks of the season, Andrew Luck has retired. Ben Roethlisberger is out for the season. Drew Brees has a broken thumb. He's out for the first six weeks, okay? We've had numerous quarterbacks. We just found out that the quarterback for the Giants, Peyton's younger brother, Eli Manning, has now been benched, okay? You're talking about some veteran quarterbacks now that are sitting down. You're talking about a new age of the quarterback in the NFL. We have spent so much time giving A.B. so much, Antonio Brown so much time, that we forgot that the season is going on. And we've got some veterans sitting down now that the league is probably changing. And then what I really want you to pay close attention to is tomorrow, Sunday, you've got the Ravens playing the Chiefs. On the surface, it may not mean nothing to you, especially if you're not a Chiefs fan or a Ravens fan. But you've got two dynamic young quarterbacks that's going to be going at each other with Lamar Jackson and the Midwest Showtime, Pat Mahomes. Okay? It is a seismic shift in what we're seeing in the NFL, people, and we're not even talking about it. Okay? We keep talking about spread offenses. We keep talking about this. But the day of the drop-back quarterback, can we say that it may be possibly coming to an end? When we watch that game tomorrow, we're going to see something that we've never seen before. First of all, we're going to see two young black quarterbacks that's running their teams, and they're doing them very well. They're going to be running up and down the field. They're going to be throwing the ball from angles we've never seen before. And we're going to see some talent galore on both sides. Now, you never thought you might hear that from a Ravens team that was used to the drop back, run the football, that sort of thing. But Lamar Jackson has now turned it into Louisville East. And we already know what Pat Mahomes is doing with the Kansas City Chiefs. And then we're looking around past Thursday, we saw Gardner Minshew, the mustache. And we know he ran spread offense out of Mike Leach's system right there in Washington State. Can we see a shift in the death of the drop back quarterback in the NFL? Think about what they got to come out. Look at what the talent pool is, folks, that's coming out of college. You Jimmy Harbaugh, you know, the old stodgy one that we just got through talking about. Okay? He had to change his offense. Why? Because his quarterbacks cannot play the drop back piece. We're starting to see that go time and time and time again. And the only one clear staple where he was at was in the NFL. And now we're starting to see a change there. Can we see the death of the drop back quarterback? I personally will throw a flower on the grave of the drop back quarterback, because we know that Tom Brady is the only dinosaur left. But once he is gone, who's going to take up that mantle? Who's going to take up that mantle? If you really want to know, you pay close attention to tomorrow afternoon when the Ravens and the Chiefs kick off, and you will say, I'm going to miss your drop back quarterback. You gave us something great. But now, move over. There's something media. Peace. Y'all have a good time, and go blue.
This thing right here, is for my people in the streets.
Yes, today, you know, as we start this show, this one mic.